Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have this evening to come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened your arms wide for us to come in, and we thank you so much for your abundant love and grace and mercy. Father, you want us to know you. You've opened your heart so that we can know you, and we're so thankful for it. We're thankful, Father, that you'll open our hearts tonight as we receive this word. I thank you, Father, that my voice will be your voice, that the words that we speak and say will be directed by your Holy Spirit and spoken from your heart to ours. Yes. We thank you for ears to hear the voice of your word. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, this is part three of our new series that we started a couple weeks ago on walking in the ways of the Lord. This is actually part two of last week because we didn't have enough time to finish last week's. You know, we never do, but that's okay. It's his word, not mine. This is part three today, and we entitled today's God's Ways Revealed by the Holy Spirit, part two. I couldn't come up with any other title, so I made it part two. Sometimes you run out of titles, you know. But that's basically what we're talking about. We'll do just a few little referrals to last week's, and we won't reteach it, but a couple referrals, and then we'll move on. In order to be able to walk in the ways of the Lord, we must first know the Lord. Amen. And that just kind of stands to reason. We can know about God. We can know about his ways. We can go through the Bible and pick up all those ways and make notes of them. But if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we cannot know God in the way that we're supposed to know him. We can know about God again. A lot of people know about God. They know some things. They may even read the Bible. But if they don't have a relationship, if they're not connected to him, then they can't properly understand it because he can't reveal it to them. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals. But I need to know that God wants us to know him. As we mentioned in one of our past messages here on this, he is not holding back. He has opened a way up so that we can know him, that we can know his ways. He's opened that way up through Jesus Christ and through the cross so that he can reveal himself and reveal his word to us by his Spirit. We must, though, position ourselves so that we are able, so that God is able to reveal his ways and his heart to us by the Holy Spirit and the Word. We are the ones that have to come to him. He's come as far as he can go. He can't go any further than he already has. It's up to us to choose. It's up to us to come to him, and because we want to choose him. And when we do that, we born again. Now the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of us as a born-again believer. Now we have a connection with him again. Now he can reveal his ways to us. In order to know God and his ways, we must be born again. Like I said, we can know about him but not know him. And there's a big difference in the two. If we are not born again, we have no connection to him. It's like having this TV or any of these appliances around here. We have them. We know they work. They're supposed to all work. But until it's plugged in, it's not going to work. And if there's no power to the outlet from the power company, it's still not going to work. There has to be a connection. There has to be a place that our hearts are connected to his heart. And the reason is because, as I mentioned previously, Adam, when he was created, he knew God in his fullness. They were of one heart. God knew everything about Adam, and Adam knew everything about God. But when Adam chose to sin, he separated from God, so the connection was broke. And because the connection was broke, Adam no longer knew God. I'm going to go back. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to go back and get a definition about knowing him that I used in the first message. To know him means to go beyond just knowing about God. To go beyond just friendship. But to have a deep and intimate personal relationship with God. To know his ways and character. And I mentioned, as Jesus prayed in John 17, that they may be one, that the world may know.
Amen.
But he didn't stop with that they may, that we may be one, that the world may know. He continues to say that in the same way that we are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they may be one with us. He wants us to be one with him. He desires that. This is something that he deeply desires. Keep that in mind, that the reason people don't understand why, when you talk about a broken connection, they don't understand what connection was broke. Is that connection where, when Adam sinned, that connection was broke with God. God never changed, but man did. Now man had a new Lord. He had a new God. The God of this world was Satan. So, the longer time goes on, the more man forgot about God. The relationship wasn't there. And it just, God could not communicate with man in the way he had before. So that's why we have to be born again. That connection, because of the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross, that connection was put back there.
Thank you, Lord.
But we have to choose it. See, God created us as men and women of choice. And if we don't choose, God still can't move in our life because it's up to us to choose. So even though the connection has been made, it's been reestablished the same way a power company reestablishes a connection after a storm, sometimes the house that it serves cannot have power connected because it's got some damage to it and that electric meter and power base is disconnected. So it's even though there's power present, it cannot be reestablished till repairs are made. So it's the same thing with us. We have to choose to reestablish the connection with God. God has opened his ways for us, but we have to choose them. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at that just briefly. Again, to show the position that man is if he does not choose Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, that at that time, what time? The time before we knew Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All of us were, at one time in our life, we were not saved. We did not know him as our Lord and Savior. But at that time, you, or me, Michael, you were without Christ. Before I was saved, I was without Christ. I did not know him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now, I didn't know I was in that condition right there. Having no hope and without God in the world. I thought I was just living my life like everybody else does. I had my ups and downs. I had my joys and my sadnesses like everybody else did. I did not know that I was without hope in this world because I wasn't born again. I had no relationship. I knew when I married Mama, we were Catholics at that time. She was. But in order to marry her, I had to join that church. I couldn't marry her otherwise. That was way back
then.
Well,
you could have, but it would have been a real
It would have been bad, not only for her, but for her family as well. But anyways, I had to choose to join that church. Now, I went to catechisms. I went to all of that. It's kind of funny in a way because I was the only one there. And this priest, he is Father Brennan, I went to his house on a Saturday, I believe it was. And he booked me in and sit down and give me the catechism and said, read this while I'd fall asleep. And a couple of times he said, boy, that was a good lesson today, wasn't it? He didn't care if I was asleep, you know. But I could still hear him saying that. It was a good lesson today, you know. But anyway, I had to choose that. But I still didn't know Jesus. I thought, well, why not? Every church talks about Jesus. They're all, you know. I didn't know anything about being saved. You know, so I lived that life a long time before I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church in the meeting. But, you know, but then God moved us on. Started with the assemblies and then up through here. And then we move up here and Brother Dave shows up to fix our plumbing the first night. Helped us move in, the assembly up here. But it was awesome. But the time went on and here we are, both ordained. And it was God's plan was different for us. But now I know Him. I know Him, and I'm so glad I do. I mean, He is not only my Lord and Savior, but I've set my love upon Him, and He loves me. And that's what it's all about. That's I know Him, but I'm knowing Him. I'm continuously gaining in knowledge with God. But now I'm not without hope and without God in this world. But every time I read that, it's like someone hits a bell or something, bong, you know. I'm not without hope and without God in this world. But when I look around me, there's a lot of people that are. And they don't know they're there. And that's our job as Christians to say, to introduce them to a loving Savior so that they're not without hope and without God in this world. That picture my daughter Debbie gave me, she went down to Brownsville with that big revival down there that they had years ago. And that was a gift she brought back to me. And that picture speaks to me every time I see it. There's all kinds of things in there. You can't see them this distance, but there's hundreds, if not tens of hundreds of people there. And they're on different roads. And there's the fire burning all around, but the churches are not on fire. You know, there's all kinds of things going on there that every time I look at it, I see something I didn't see before. There's people stepping off of the road going to the cross. Some have a Bible in their hand or reaching out. Others are just leaving the path. You know, there's just all kinds of things there. But I think of that. All of those people think they're okay following the road signs and the arrows, and they're not okay. They wind up in hell. And I don't want that for anybody. I most certainly don't want it. But it speaks volumes to me every time I see it. So we don't want to be without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13 has a big word called but. And we talked about but. I'm a word stopper, especially on little words. Let, but, if, and, you know. But means something has changed. He's still talking about the same thing. Something changed here. This person was without hope and without God. But now. But now. I love to say that. But now in Christ Jesus. So this individual here, especially me, I'm born again now. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm no longer separated from God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that means before I got born again, I was far off, have been brought not near by the blood of Jesus. We are now, there's no distance between God and I now. We're one. He's in me. His Holy Spirit lives in me. He sent His very own self to live in us by His Spirit. His Spirit and my spirit are one because I got born again. I received Him as my Lord. But see, the thing is, He wanted that. He wants that. And even if nobody ever got saved after the cross, He would still want that. You're talking about the ways of the Lord, walking in the ways of the Lord. We need to realize that God has made the way and He wants us to walk in His ways. He wants us to have a deep, intimate knowledge of Him. That's why He wrote this book.
Amen.
This book is full of the ways of God. When we talk about the ways, as I mentioned, we're talking about His character, who He is, the depths of His being. But He wants to know us that way. And you think, well, God knows me. He does. But He will not invade me. He will not make me have a relationship with Him. And when I'm talking about knowing Him, we're talking about a communion, a relationship, one with another. about walking in the depths of who we are. That there's no doors in my heart closed. That my doors of my heart are open to Him. His are open to me. In part one, we discussed John 3, 1 through 17, and basically the story of Nicodemus, and that goes on down through 17, the famous John 3, 16. I'm not going to go through that again, but I wanted, because of what we're talking about tonight, I want to pull out a couple of the little verses. John 3, 3, Jesus answered and said to him is Nicodemus, most assuredly. Now, we talked about the word most assuredly. Most assuredly means this is definite. This is an absolute. It can't be changed. This is absolute. Something that's absolute cannot be changed. Most assuredly. Now, notice it's important to notice also, he didn't say assuredly. He said most assuredly. So he's letting us all know this is absolute. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's an absolute. You have to be born again. Why? Because you're not connected. You can't see it. You can't understand it. Until you get born again and that connection's made, revelation knowledge cannot come. And then John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, again he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now you're talking about entering, not just knowing, but entering. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's he talking about? He's saying the person that's born again, this person that's not, can notice a difference in the person, but he can't understand it. He can't know the same difference that this other person does without being born again. When it says you must be born of water and spirit, yes, being baptized is being born again by water, but you have to be born first. He's talking about you must be born as a human. You must come into time as a human, or the birth water. You must be born of a human being. But then the next step is you must be born again. If you're just born into this world, into this life, and you're not born again, you go to hell. You still exist because the spirit cannot die. But you will not have the relationship to get you into heaven. When you get born again, the spirit comes into my spirit. We become one. And because the Holy Spirit is in my spirit, now I can enter heaven. Because I have a relationship. I have the key in. If I'm not born again, there's no Holy Spirit in my spirit. My spirit can't go in. There's no way in there. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. There is no other way. So we must be born again. In order to know God and His ways, we must be born again. That's a must. But once we are born again, there's another step. So a lot of people just get born again. That's as far as they go. Well, they're going to heaven, but they don't know Him. They can't live the Christian life. They don't understand it. They never get into the Word. They don't understand why. They go right back where they were. They're not born. They're born again, but they don't have a real relationship. They still don't know Him. There's a relationship, but they don't know Him. The next step is that you must draw near to Him now. He's drawn near to us. He's come as far as He can. The Holy Spirit's even in the person. He can't go any further because of the power of choice. The person must choose to draw near. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What's that saying is the limit that God can draw near to us is how closely we draw to him. That's God's limit where I'm concerned. If I'm, and when we had our church, I had a little slip that I drew up before a Sunday service, and it said, are you a part-time Christian, temporary Christian, full-time Christian? And you're supposed to check one of those and sign it. Now, there's only one answer to that. If you're not a full-time Christian, you're not born again. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. You've moved from death to life. You are a brand new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. There is no such thing as a temporary or a part-time Christian. Now, we may live that kind of life. You know, we may live a temporary Christian life or part-time. We may be different when we go out into the world and see people in the world. We may agree with what they're doing visually or while we're with them and totally disagree with what they're doing as a Christian. Well, that's a part-time Christian. You cannot be different when you're with your friends and you're with the world out there in the world. You have to be the same because you are still a Christian. You don't get unborn again or take your Christian suit off to go into that place. You still have your suit on. The Holy Spirit's still there. Now, you'll grieve him if you keep doing that, and you don't want to ever grieve the Holy Spirit. But there's no such thing as a part-time Christian. So, once I get born again, I have to choose to draw near to him. Well, how do I do that? Right here. I spend time in his word. I spend time going to church, listening to tapes and things. I spend time in prayer, in fellowship with him, fellowship with other Christians. You're spending time with him now at this Bible study. He's right here with us. This is his word. And it's pleasing to him when people go the extra mile, go further than just that Sunday morning service or every other Sunday or whatever they do. That they have a daily relationship with him because they want to know him. And if you want to know God, he will reveal himself to you. But you have to want to know him. If I really want to know him, then I'm going to find ways to draw near to him. As I draw near to him, he can then draw near to me. He's not being mean and okay, I'll show you. Till you come to me, I'm not going to you. That's not what he's doing. He has to have a doorway. We have to desire it for him to come to us. As born-again believers, the Holy Spirit himself dwells in us. He is the one that reveals the living Word of God. As we study the Word, pray, and walk the love walk, those three are vital. We have to be in the Word people to know him because he reveals himself in the Word. We have to pray because, as we mentioned in our series on prayer and hindrances to prayer, that prayer, actual real prayer, is communion with God. It's fellowshipping with him. And asking for things falls below that. But real prayer is communion and fellowship with God. So as we have that, and walk our love walk, because without love, our faith won't work. And without faith, the word won't work. So we have to guard our love walk. The living Word of God reveals who God is and his ways. I love that because he wrote a book so we can know him. Whose fault is it if we don't? I think it's our fault if we don't know him. We cannot know God or his ways with the human intellect. We can know about God, but we cannot know him with the intellect. As I've mentioned before, previously, we can be able to quote every word in this Bible. We can have read it through 100 times. We can even be able to recite it. But if it's only head knowledge, if we're not been born again, it's only knowledge. We can't know Him. You cannot know Him. The dumbest, most insignificant person, if he loves God and fellowships with Him, he can know God better than that guy with 16 PhDs behind his name. If that person doesn't know God, he doesn't know God. No matter how much he knows, he treats this as a history book or a book of morals. But it's so much more than that. This word is alive. It is alive. But if I'm not alive, that life doesn't affect me. This word is spiritually discerned. And if the Holy Spirit's in me, then He reveals the word to me as I read it. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, I got born again and that the Bible just came alive"? It does, because you've got a connection with God now. He can reveal the word to you. Where before you read the same thing and said, "Boy, this is boring." But now it's exciting. Say, "Look at that." You know, it makes a big difference when you're born again or not born again. But you still have to seek it. You know, you still have to seek it. We can only know God by the Spirit. There is no other way to really know Him. We can only know God by the Spirit. Knowing God is heart or spiritual knowledge, not head knowledge. And that's why sometimes the more knowledge a person has, like they went to every college in the United States and done some overseas. They're seeking head knowledge. Brain. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just you can't understand God that way. That's why they have a hard time. That's why some scientists and other professors have a hard time with the word, because they're looking at it intellectually. And it's not discerned intellectually. It's spiritually discerned. The Bible itself tells us that. It can only be understood by the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's not living in me because I'm born again, then He cannot reveal it to me. What He does reveal to me is ye must be born again. That's what He reveals to us. Well, God is a Spirit. That's why we have to commune with Him in the Spirit. John 4:24. God is Spirit. You can't get any plainer than that. John 4:24, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must, that's a definite again, that's an absolute, must worship in spirit and truth. As I go through my studies, I always look for small letters, small words, and relationship words, and decision words, and I look for absolutes. And when I see must or is, those are absolutes. They cannot be changed. Well, God is Spirit. So now we know God is Spirit. Well, what else is He? The very first one that comes to our mind, we've talked about numerous times and will continue to do so. 1 John 4:7 and 1 John 4:16, God is love. He doesn't have love. Well, He does. And He does love. But He is love. There's a big difference. There's no other being that can lay claim to that. Only God. God is love. If you think about that long enough, a revelation will come. God is love. Most of us read that in 1 John 4:7 and 16. They read that and breeze right by it. They read it this way without really realizing they're doing it. God loves. Or God has love. Or God does love. That's not what it said. It said God is love, the being. So now we know that God is spirit, and we know that God is love. No matter what translation you go to, it's the same one. God is spirit. God is love. Well, that automatically tells me that love is spiritual. Real love is spiritual. But then you go a little bit further in the same chapter of 1 John, just a couple verses down. Verse 16 says God is love. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Most people breeze right by that. As he is. And he just got done saying God is love. So. And when you say the word so, you're an English major. What does so mean? It means in like kind, doesn't it, here? It means in the same way, in the same way that God is love, so are we. So are we in this world. How did we become love? Man as a species has always been love. Always been love. God, who is love, breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. That breath of life is the Spirit of God Himself. God breathed His own self into Adam, and Adam became a living being. He was love the same way God was love. Can we link to Adam? If it wasn't for Adam, we wouldn't be here. But also, we have another link. When you get born again, now you're linked to God Himself. So when we got born again, love Himself put Himself love in us. The Holy Spirit is love. God is love. It's God's Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit, I get born again, the Holy Spirit comes in instantly. It's even less than instant. It's a shorter time span than that. The moment I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God's Spirit and my spirit are one. Love came in. I got born again by love Himself again. Born again, okay? The man species, God infused love back into this man again because I received Him as Lord. So as He is, so are we in this world. We are love the way God is love. Now, we may not be living it. We may not be walking it. We may not understand it. It may not have ever entered in my mind. But as He is, so are we in this world. If God is love, then we are love. That is why it's so important that we study, read, and make our life conform to the love walk. Because that's who we are. And if we're going to know God, we're going to have to walk in love to do it.
Yeah.
Because God is love. We cannot know. That's why the person that's not born again cannot know Him. Because love has not come in. There's no connection. But when love comes in, I've talked about my testimonies a couple of times, but I changed immediately. I was no longer the angry, mad person I used to be, was I, Mother? She didn't know I got born again.
You didn't say nothing.
I didn't say anything. And then several days later, she said, did you get born again at that convention? I said, yeah. She said, well, I thought so, because you're no longer mad. I was at peace for the first time in my life. That doesn't happen to everybody that way, but it happened to me that way. He loves us. And He wants to make a difference in our life, but we have to allow Him to. So, as He is, so are we in this world. Well, I just got done telling you that God breathes His own spirit into Adam. That makes us a spirit being too. If God is spirit, we are spirits. The real Michael, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe last week. Anyways, all this body is, it's not Michael. This is not Michael. This is an earth suit. It's my house. That's all it is. If I was to take this shirt moves when I do, doesn't it? My shoes move when I move. I mean, one step at a time, but it takes two to go somewhere, but they're moving when I move. My legs move. My hands are moving. But once this spirit leaves, once I leave, this body doesn't do anything. It just falls. Because there's no life in it. The spirit is what brings life to the body. If I take this shirt off, it just falls wherever I throw it. It never moves again until I put it back on. Then it moves. It has no life in and of itself. Yeah, there's blood pumping here and there's all this stuff moving and things going on inside that I don't even know about, don't want to know about. But it all functions together, and in time, I'm alive. But I'm just inside a house that I need to live here in time. I'm a spirit being, and immediately I'm in the spirit realm once I die, once a body dies. So, as God is spirit, all God had was a lump of clay until he put himself in that body, until he breathed the breath of life in that man known as Adam. He put his own spirit in there, and he became a living spirit. That's what we are. We are spirit beings in the same way that God is a spirit being. That's who we really are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, most people, they understand that we are spirits. And actually, they don't understand the spirit part. They understand the soul part. So they think that we're a body and a soul. Let's go out and get some souls saved. Can't do that. You cannot get souls saved. You get the spirit saved. New life comes in that spirit. Our 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 details this very vividly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. Now we're going to get into deeper on this in an upcoming message on this in detail. But for right now, I need to mention it here. Because if we don't understand this, we can't understand how we are like him, how we are one with him. We can't understand it. Our spirit is the real Michael. That's who I will always be, a spirit. When I got created, conceived, the moment I was conceived, I'm a spirit. That's why abortion is so wrong. I'm a living spirit. And I will never cease to exist. There will never be a point when Michael will not exist. The difference is where I will exist. There's only two destinations. One, I have life because I got born again. One, I do not have life because I did not get born again. But in hell, that's why hell is so bad. It never ends. Now, we can't comprehend that. I can't. But I know that's what the Word says. And I know the real Michael will always exist. I look a lot better on the inside than I do on the out. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, you do too. Yeah, praise God. But I am a spirit. That's who I am. And I have a soul. Now, the soul and the spirit are not the same. The soul is my mind, my emotions, and my will. That's my soul. And I live in a body. The soul actually is kind of like a connection, a connector, a bridge between my body and my spirit. It has to be there for my spirit to be able to communicate. Okay, it's like the soulish nature of a man, his mind, his will, and his emotions. That conforms to this world, to Satan and his ways, or it conforms to God and his ways. When I'm born again, my soulish nature and my spirit are connected to God. But if I don't, that's where my choice lays, is in my soulish nature. I don't want to go any deeper with that because we're going to have a detail on that later. But anyways, keep in mind that we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And in order for to communicate, that's the soulish nature of man. My emotions lie with my soul, not my spirit. My spirit has emotions, but they're godly emotions. They don't conform to the soulish nature. So we'll get to there later. But that was important to say to go on. As we draw near to God and seek to know Him, to know God in His fullness, the precious Holy Spirit reveals the heart of God to us through the living Word of God by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals the living Word to us. That's what He does as we draw closer to Him. John chapter 16. Now I'm going to use the Amplified Classic version here, not the Amplified Classic, on these two, because they draw out the fullness of these scriptures in a deeper way. John chapter 16 and verse 13. But now this is Jesus talking. But when He, the Spirit of truth, also remember, this is just a couple hours before the cross. He's teaching His disciples what they need to know because He's not going to be here. But when He, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify Me, because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is Mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is Mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are Mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Without the Holy Spirit inside of us, He can't do that. He can't reveal the heart of the Father. He can't reveal the heart of Jesus. He can't reveal the Word to us. God's living Word is His will, but He can't enlighten our understanding of it. So when the truth-giving Spirit comes, when was that? It was after Jesus rose from the dead. He told the disciples, He said, you go to Jerusalem and wait. The Spirit came in fullness and filled them. That's another action. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But until they got born again, they could not have the Spirit inside. Does that make sense to you? I keep saying it because it's something that a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand that when they get born again, they do get filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a different action of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's something different. But without being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit first, because He comes in and He joins our spirit, without us becoming one with Him, nothing else can happen. So, it says here, He will guide us into all truth. Now, the next section is Jesus again, but He's going to say it a little differently. John 14:26, and I love this. This particular scripture in the Amplified only. You won't find it in the other verses. It'll say, in other versions, it'll say Comforter. It'll say Paraclete. It'll say Helper. But the Amplified brings out the ministries of the Holy Spirit. It brings out what that word Comforter actually means. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's jobs. But He's got one other job. He's our teacher. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. Now, He could not send the Holy Spirit till Jesus hung on that cross, went to hell, and rose from the dead. Then He could send the Holy Spirit. Whom the Father will send in My name, in My place, to represent Me and to act on My behalf. He will teach you all things. Now, in the last section of Scripture, it says He will guide you. The Amplified says He will guide you into all truth. Here, it says He will teach you all things. Probably the same word translated a little differently, but He'll do both. He will guide us into all truth. He leads us. We're led by the Spirit, and He will teach us all things. And He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring you to remembrance everything I told you. The more words you get inside your spirit, the more He can bring to recall. You can't recall something that you didn't know to begin with. Well, I recall when John did that the last time. You know, it's like a memory thing. If you don't put the word in, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to bring it out when the time comes. That's why when you're going through a problem or a circumstance or situation that's drastic, and you don't know, a scripture will come up. A certain way. You might not know word by word, but you'll know the general idea behind that scripture. It'll come up. That's the Holy Spirit bringing it up. You're in danger here. You have a need here. He's bringing it up. It might be while you're praying. Maybe you're ministering to somebody else, and they have a need. But until they ask you to pray for them, nothing came. But when you started praying for them, certain scriptures came up to pray, because it's the Holy Spirit bringing back to remembrance or to recall what you put in. And it don't have to be yesterday. It can be, you could hear it years ago. But if it's in there, He can bring it back up. And if it's not in there, He can tell you where to go to get it. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, I love it. But you see what his job is here. When we draw near to God on purpose because we want to, then the Holy Spirit is able to do these jobs. I won't do it now much, but just mention it. In 14:26, which we just read, John 14:26, it lists His ministries. Those are available to every believer who's born again. He's your counselor. Now, comforter doesn't mean a pity pat on the back. Mm-hmm. Oh, you poor thing. That's not a comforter. That's not what God's talking about. God's talking about meeting your need. He's your counselor. A counselor is what? Well, he brings back to remembrance. He counsels you in what you need to know. You have, Father, I don't know how to do this. I just don't have any, I just don't understand this process. Please give me knowledge. That's what the Holy Spirit does now. He brings revelation. He is a counselor. Another a counselor, you go, you have this big need, you don't know, you might go to, right now, I think, a pregnancy resource center. These people are going to have abortions and stuff. So they go to pregnancy resource center and they think they're going to get abortion there, but it's not the purpose. It's to talk them out of an abortion. So they go there and they get counseled by people that know. They teach them what their options are. They counsel them. We get their prayer list every morning, every week, from Pregnancy Resource Center. They've had, what, 29 babies in three weeks?
No. Just the last week, they had 19 women.
19 women.
Come in. And all then this week there was 10 women.
Gave 29. Up. They changed their mind.
Yeah.
They meet the need of the parent of the baby and take care of that all the way through to birth. And then they help them with jobs and with places to stay and getting their life back right. You know, so it's not just about adoption or something like that. It's the whole thing, whether they want to adopt the baby or whatever. But that's an idea of a counselor. Or you might go like a student counselor. The kid gets in trouble and he goes to the counselor. That's what a counselor does. That's the job of the Holy Spirit with each of us. But we don't draw on that ministry. We don't even know he does it. We don't know that. But we can go to God and, Father, I need some counsel. And that's the Holy Spirit. But he'll always use the word to do it. Okay. Then he's our helper. Notice he said helper. That doesn't mean he does the work for you. He helps you do it. Okay? When you're going through something and you need assistance in some way, you can ask him to help you with this. You still put your feet to it, but he helps you be able to accomplish whatever that task may be. He's your intercessor. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. An intercessor is a go-between. He intercedes between you and God. He's a stand between the two. Or you can pray in the Spirit and be interceding for someone else you don't even know. You're praying in the Spirit, and you don't need to know what the problem is. The Holy Spirit does. He's counseling. He's interceding for that person. He's bringing the will of God to knowledge in this circumstance. So he's also our advocate. Now, if you ever had a court problem, you know what an advocate is. He's a lawyer. He's standing up between God and the devil, and he's your lawyer. Yeah, God, I know he did that. But on such and such a day, he repented. He got born again. He's under the blood of Jesus. He's in Christ. So Satan has nothing to stand on. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener when I'm going through these problems and stuff. So many of us just try to white-knuckle ourselves through these problems and issues of life instead of asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. He can strengthen us as we go through the problems of life. But if we don't know he does it, if we don't know to ask, we will never ask him to. And the other one is, he's our standby. I like that one too, because it's like this big generator at a hospital or something. It doesn't do anything until the power goes off. Then, so when you lose all power, he's there to, you know, bring that power back on. Instantly it comes back on. He's our standby. I love that. He's always there ready for us. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. God has a deep desire. So I need to know that. God has a deep desire. I don't have to talk him into it. So many of us try to talk God into stuff. And He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to do any more or less than the Word says. This is His will. This is what He will do. But I don't have to talk Him in to knowing Him. I don't have to talk Him in to knowing His ways. Oh God, please show me Your ways. He's already done that. God has a deep desire for us to know Him and to know His ways. He is not holding back. He wants us to know Him. And we'll see this. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I won't get to it next week, but we'll probably come back to this. This is a prayer of Paul, and we've talked about this in previous messages during our study on prayer. But I'm going to use the Amplified Classic version of this, and it shows the heart of God. It shows the desire of God. Now, the prayers that you find in the Bible, Paul's prayers and others, those are written by the Holy Spirit. Those are Holy Spirit prayers. This man, Paul, was sitting down there, and the Spirit is writing this through Paul. It's by revelation. It is the will of God. It's in the Bible. It's God's will. So I have every right to pray this for you or for someone else. I have every right to pray for it for the church and for me. But it's a good example of God's desire for us to know Him, to know His ways. If Paul prayed it, it's in the Bible, it's God's desire. And we know by 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is His will. So He heard us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. This is God's will. It's His idea. He hears it, so I know we have it. So this is His will. When we talk about His desire for us to know Him.
Which one are you using?
John or Ephesians chapter 3. I guess I ought to tell you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. I'm using the Amplified Classic again because it really brings it out. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Now again, like I said, you can make this a prayer for anyone. And you're praying God's will over that person. Pray it for yourself, your family. Pray it for the president. Pray it for whoever. Pray it for me, please. So.
The president? Are you sure?
Pardon?
The president?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kings, rulers, governors, presidents, prime ministers.
We pray this every day, Mother and I do, over all of our leaders. Over your pastor? Can you believe that? Over that person that hates you? You know, the problem is he doesn't know God. So this will help. Put their name in there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. He is the Father. Everything started with Him. Verse 16. May He, or God, may He grant you, out of the rich treasury of His glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Notice where the grant goes. This is something that God is rich with. He's abundant with it. And this prayer is asking that God would grant from this treasury of His glory. Now, the glory is love, because that's who He is. but out of that rich glory to be strengthened and reinforced. Dave works on a lot of stuff. There's times when you got to reinforce a wall. Caving in. You can't stand the way it was. You're going to have to do something to reinforce it. So to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power, where? In the inner man. Why there? I need it out here, God. Because you're a spirit, and that's where the strength needs to be to get to the outer man. Okay? With mighty power in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, my faith? Yeah. He does this through my faith. I have to have faith in this. I have to have faith in Him, faith in His Word. He's doing it with my faith, not His. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That statement is the key to the whole thing. That's the key to knowing God. That's the key to everything in this prayer. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That. So if you're not rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, this next part won't work. See, so that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? Now, we mentioned earlier, God is love. So what's He saying? That we can understand the breadth and length and height and depth of love. Can we understand God? Can we know Him? With that we can. But it takes our love walk to do it. It takes the Word to do it. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it. But we can. If God says that we may, that means we can. It's available. But I'm involved in that. I'm involved in accomplishing it. Verse 19. That. Okay, so if I've accomplished this, then this will happen. That you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ. See, we need to experience this for ourselves. I can say all of this, and you not do anything at all in your own life, and you'll never experience it. Well, that stuff don't work. You didn't do anything. You know, Dave can take a nail and look at it all day long until he applies a hammer to that nail. It's not going nowhere. And that's the same way here. You can hear all of this. You can know all of this. You can have an understanding of it. But if you don't apply it to yourself, you'll never get the revelation of it. And it's not God's fault. Verse 19 again, that you may really come to know. I want to know. I want to come to that place where I know Him. Practically, through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. See, you can't understand that love with knowledge, with the head, without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now to Him, or to God, who by, in consequence of, the action of His power that is at work in us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, in all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it.
Amen.
That's a prayer. I want that. I want that. And I want you to have it. So that's why we pray it every day for you. But I, and all of you, we pray for Dave, for
anybody.
We even pray for him. You know, even pray for him. You know? We pray this for everybody we pray for. But grab a hold of this prayer in your own version and pray it for people, especially your enemies, those who don't like you. If you've got problems in your home or family, pray this for them. Pray for yourself and watch what God does. But you have to believe it. Father, we thank you for this time in your word tonight. Thank you for the richness of this word. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. We want to know your ways. We want to, Lord. We want to draw near to you. We want to know you as we walk through our daily life, as we walk through the supermarket, as we're on our job, as we encounter difficulties and decisions that we have to make, some very important decisions, maybe even life-changing. As we walk through our life that way, we want to know you. We want you to have full control in our life and to be able to communicate with us and to commune with us. We want to draw near to you. Father, teach us. Teach us by your Spirit. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.